Well, let's pray as we get ready for the word of the Lord tonight. Lord, I just thank you for open hearts, hearing ears, Lord, and Lord, those who are ready to receive. I pray, Father, that you help me, Lord, to just be ready also, Lord, to receive, Lord, and to give exactly what you've given me, Father. And Lord, I'll be sensitive to the Holy Spirit to say exactly what you want me to. And Father, I just ask you for your help, Lord. I believe I receive, Lord, and that we're all going to receive from you tonight, Lord, that each one of us is going to hear, Lord, what we need tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you believe that, say amen. Amen. Well, now if you hear something you didn't want to hear, well, maybe it's what you needed to hear. So that's what we prayed, right? All right. Tonight I'm going to share a message with you about overcoming weariness. Overcoming weariness. Susie called her friend and she said, "Hey, how are you doing?" And her friend said, "Well, I'm just worn out. I got a splitting headache. My back and legs are killing me. The house is a mess. The kids are driving me crazy." But Susie was full of compassion. She said, "Well, you go lie down, and I'll just come right over. I'll cook lunch. I'll clean up the house. I'll take care of the children while you get some rest. By the way, how's Sam?" "Sam? Who is Sam?" Susie said, "Oh, no, I must have dialed the wrong number." Then she hears on the other end of the line, "Well, are you still coming over?" We've all been there where we get wore out, where we're just tired, where we're weary, and we got too much to do, too many responsibilities. You know, just the day-to-day responsibilities of life, whether it's the job and taking care of kids or dealing with business or other responsibilities. You know, all kinds of things, taking care of sick loved ones or sometimes elderly parents, all kinds of things can just wear on you. And some of those things that go on for a long time, they can really wear you down. But one of the things that you really see that take a toll is in the area of ministry and in our work for the Lord and in doing good, in our Christian service and in our love for others. You know, when we get weary and worn out, then we don't treat people the way we should. When we get real weary and worn out, we don't do the things that we should be doing. And so the Bible tells us this in Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And I'm going to use the NIV tonight. I like the wording a little better. Just makes it a little simpler and clearer on some of these passages. But it says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." Now, I want you to notice, he says, let us not. Let's make up our mind. We're not going to get weary in doing good. See, we need to address this issue because I'm telling you, there's a lot of tired people. All of us are going to have the opportunity to be too tired and too weary to do good. So we got to make up our mind that we're going to not become weary. We're going to overcome that weariness. Because listen, he says, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Now here's the sad side of that. If we give up, we miss the harvest. That's sad. Some people, they work and they do the right thing and they do good, but somewhere along the way they give up. And that's sad because then there's no harvest. You got to keep going. You got to make up your mind. You're not going to be weary and well-doing, but you're going to continue to do good. He says to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Listen. That scripture is not just speaking of being physically tired. And in fact, you need to understand this. You know, physically tired is one thing. And we all know what that feels like. But I want you to know, you can handle that. When you get tired in your soul, When you get worn out in your soul, weary in your soul, that's when you quit doing what the things that you ought to be doing. That's when you no longer continue to sow the right seed to reap that harvest. So we got to find out, how can we keep our soul rested, and how can we keep going through the difficult times? But I want you to understand this. He's talking about not just a physical weariness, but it's something more than that. In fact, I can just tell you that for me personally, when you work real hard physically and you're tired, that's kind of a good tired. That's a relaxed tired. But when you become weary in your soul, it's not a relaxed tired. It's a stress tired. I mean, that's the kind of tired you can lay in bed tired and yet can't sleep. And that's what we really need to get at tonight, is that weary soul. You get your soul rested, and I tell you, your body's going to be all right. But it can happen to any of us. All of us have the opportunity to get weary. We work, we serve, we pray, we love, we reach out to people, and sometimes we don't see visible results. See, we live in this real result-oriented society, and I'm that way. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm so bent that way. I want to see fruit. I want to see results. I don't want to waste my time with things that are ineffective. I want to see something from the efforts of our labors. And, you know, that's one of the things I like about, in fact, I'm kind of guilty of spending too much time with menial things instead of things that matter more in eternity. But things like working in the yard, or going and cutting firewood, or painting a room. I like to do those things. You know why? Because in a couple of hours, I'm done and I can look at what I did. In fact, usually, almost always, when I do the yard, the last thing I do, after I've blown it all off and it's all completely done, I walk across on the other side of the street and I look at my yard. And I enjoy that. It makes me feel good, because in just an hour or so, I've done something that I can see the results of. But I want you to understand that so much of the things that really matter, we can't see the results like that. It takes a season to go by before you begin to see a harvest. Some of the results, it's going to be some years down the road. Some of the results, you're not going to see it until heaven. Some of that harvest, I'm telling you, it's coming in. You're going to see the impact when you get to heaven. Read it one more time, verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. That's the way harvest is. You work and you wait. 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 Now, in the previous few verses, before you get to verse 9 there, he's talking about the law of sowing and reaping, that whatever you sow, you're going to reap. That when you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap destruction. When you sow to the Spirit, then you're going to reap life. And so as we're doing good, we're going to reap good things. But we need to understand this, that it's that law of sowing and reaping. That harvest comes in, but it so often it's later. It's down the road. And it's in between the sowing and the reaping that we get weary sometimes and want to just give up. And how sad. No, we've got to make up our mind that we're going to keep on praying, that we're going to keep on giving, that we're going to keep on working, we're going to keep on serving. Listen, we're going to keep on loving, keep on treating people right, keep on doing the right thing and doing good to people. Well, I was good to them. I did this and that. I got my, you know, I reached out to help somebody, got my hand chopped off. So you quit. So listen, I'm telling you, in ministry, it is always this way, that there's going to be times when you're not seeing a harvest. You know, we like those stories where Peter preached and 3,000 got saved. That's wonderful. It doesn't always happen that way, even for Peter. Nowhere does it say, and every time he preached, thousands got saved. It didn't happen like that. Listen, there were lots of places the Apostle Paul went, and when he preached, they ran him out of town or stoned him. See, we just always want to talk about the good times. We need to realize that it wasn't always like that. There were times when they were just sowing. And it is for us, church, we got to realize that, yeah, sometimes there's going to be a great harvest. There's going to be great results from our efforts. But we just need to realize that we have to keep on doing good in the difficult times. You know, in this secular world, you can measure success by tangible things. But as we serve the Lord, we need to realize that a lot of the time we don't see it with a natural eye, but it's just as real what's taking place in the Spirit. When we sow to the Spirit, we're going to reap life. We're going to reap blessings. A lot of people try to serve the Lord, or they try to obey God in a particular area to do what they're supposed to do. And they try it for a few days or a few weeks or a few months. They try it. They try. And they say, well, I tried that. Church, we got to get to the place where we have made up our mind. We're not going to get weary. We're going to keep going. See, you know, it's discouraging when you do your best and yet you don't see visible results. One of the reasons people get weary and discouraged, I think a lot of times, is criticism. Isn't it amazing how when you're trying to do the right thing, the devil always has somebody standing by to criticize? Now, I'm just going to, this isn't poor me, but I'll just give you a little personal example tonight. When you follow a great pastor of 50 years and Brother Harold Nichols, I want you to know there ain't much of nothing you can do that's right. Now, that's the truth. And I'm not Harold Nichols. I can't be. My goodness. You know what? He and I have very similar values. Very similar values. I mean, we both think the same way about money and, you know, a lot of things. But but when it comes to personality, we're so different. We're real different. Some of y'all know that. But I'm just telling you, though. So I come back to this church 9 years ago, and I believe God brought me back to this church to move the church and get it back on the growth track, reaching lost people and unchurched people. And God gave us vision to do that. And you wouldn't believe how people can be critical of that vision. And if just in case there's anybody that hadn't got it figured out yet, our vision is not about maintaining the saints. Our vision is about reaching people. And if you don't understand that, you're going to be frustrated in this church always, because that really is our vision. We take very seriously the commission the Lord Jesus gave us, and that's our passion. Now, that doesn't mean we don't care about the sheep, but you got to understand this. That's our vision. That's what we want to do. Jesus said he'd leave the 99 and go look for the one. Listen, if there's 99% of the world is saved and in the church, you know what Jesus said we should do? Go after the one. Now, we got a whole lot more than 1% out there. Well, I'm getting a whole different message, aren't I? Let's get back. I just want to say, though, it doesn't matter what you do. You want to win the lost, whatever you want to do. There's going to be somebody that's critical of it. See, our worship team, they get all excited and passionate about worship. There's going to be somebody that starts criticizing, talking about how those young girls dress. I'm telling you, you do anything for God, somebody's going to criticize you. You spank your kids in love. You love them good. And I'm telling you, there's going to be somebody who will criticize you and attack you for it. You got to be ready for that. My wife, years ago, we pastored the church in Cleburne for a short time. We had the board over to our house and their wives. And my wife, having been trained by her mom, is a consummate hostess. I mean, she is a wonderful hostess. And so after dinner, she's scurrying around and getting dessert and coffee for everybody. And she would wait on me. I never got up from the table. My wife waited on me. Several of the other women that were there that night couldn't stand her after that. Wouldn't have anything to do with her because the way she waited on him. Their husbands told me how mad they were. I'm just telling you, it don't matter what you do. The devil's going to bring somebody to try to accuse you. And here's what's the enemy trying to do? He's trying to get you worn down so that you'll quit. And it happens to a lot of people. Listen, don't think that it can't happen to you. It even happened to a lot of the prophets in the Bible, where because of opposition, somebody criticizing them, they got to a place where they just wanted to quit. In fact, it's really pretty funny how many of them said, my life is worthless. Just go ahead and kill me, God. Great men of God. And I'm just telling you that criticism can really wear you out and wear you down and get you to the place where you can't keep going. If you allow it to, it'll wear you out. By the way, just a couple of things or a side note. We just need to get on board with what God's doing and work together in unity with the body of Christ. God is not the author of confusion and strife. What I'm saying to you is we need to be supportive of one another and work together and don't participate in criticism. You know, criticism sometimes in the right spirit, in the right way, and sometimes even when it was just ugly, we can learn from it and we can grow from it. But we have to be careful that we don't let it get down in our spirit and cause, you know, let the enemy use it to discourage us. Usually the people that do the most criticizing aren't doing much of nothing themselves. Amen. You hear Brother Nichols say amen to that. I'm going to tell you, every pastor will tell you the same thing. The big criticizers are usually people that do nothing. They just sit back and judge. They're just like Pharisees. They're not helping anybody. They're not doing anything of any value. They're just criticizing the people that are. They think they're doing God a service. But all they're doing is discouraging people. 2 Thessalonians 3:11 through 13. Listen to this. We hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy. They are busybodies. I like the way the NIV handles this. They're not busy. They're busybodies. Such people, we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat. And as for you, brothers, never tire of doing what is right. There it is again. Don't get tired. And he's just telling us, you can't get tired doing what's right. You got to keep going. Don't let those busybodies discourage you, but keep going. Some people drive better from the back seat. Coach better from the stands. Just remember this. If you quit working, you'll become one of them. Ooh. We have to stay focused on what we've been given to do and not get discouraged, not get weary. Remember, we talked about this last year, and I'm not going to preach the whole 13 messages on Nehemiah. I just want to remind you, Nehemiah got a vision from God to go back and to rebuild the walls of the city of Jerusalem. And so he goes back and he gets the people on board, but not everybody. Well, there were those that opposed. And it wasn't people from some foreign land. It was some of his own people who opposed and criticized. And the opposition was so great that he finally had to have half of the people building and half of them with a sword to defend their brothers. And here's the point I want to make about this. You see, when people get weary and worn out, and it's burnout. When people get weary and worn out, a lot of times they get out of church. They end up not doing what they're supposed to be doing for God. And it's a really big deal. Now listen to me. You see, if we let our brothers and sisters be attacked and criticized, you know, listen, it's just like some of these people up here on the platform. People criticizing them, saying things about that worship team. You know, that could discourage some of them and cause them to not even want to do what they do anymore. Let me tell you the way it needs to be. You don't talk about my brothers and sisters. You don't talk about the people working in there in the children's department. You don't talk about our youth department. You don't talk about our worship team in a negative way. I'm telling you, we need to stand up for one another. See, we don't put up with that kind of criticism and backbiting and attacking those that are doing something for God. Well, they're not perfect. No, they're not, but they're doing something. I told you Sunday, that perfect church, judgment church, it's down the road. We're just a bunch of people saved by grace doing the best we can. But I'm just telling you, here's the point I want to make. They had to defend their brothers, and that needs to be the way it is in the body of Christ, that we defend one another. You know, the worst thing in the world is to have to defend yourself. When somebody attacks you, and I'm telling you as a pastor, you know, you just can't hardly do it. If somebody wants to attack you, it's a very uncomfortable thing, because even if you're right, you just can't really defend yourself. Somebody else needs to do it. We need to defend one another in the body of Christ. It keeps people from getting discouraged when somebody else will stand up for them. I know as people have criticized us for not building the building fast enough, and now they're going to be the same people that have criticized us for borrowing the money. And let me tell you who they are. They're people that don't give to get it done. How do you know? I just know. Because that's the way it is. People who criticize are never the ones that are part of the answer. They're part of the problem. Now, I've done a whole lot of preaching about being weary and how we get there and about the problem. We're going to turn this around in a minute. I'm going to talk about the answer. I'm going to talk about how to solve it. But I really am in a way already. You need to understand how the things that wear us down and how we get weary if we're going to overcome it. Let me just give you this one example real quick. 1923, Russian-born engineer worked on his latest invention. And people told him, as they said, why don't you spend your time on something useful? Well, he didn't listen to them. He continued on. And in 1929, he obtained the first patent for his invention. It's called a color television. Among his other achievements, he helped perfect the electron microscope and other devices that greatly advanced in medical and biological research. He retired as a director of electronic research for RCA in 1954. Listen, criticism marked his career the whole time. And what I'm trying to say to you is that if you're going to do something for God, you're going to accomplish anything, you can't allow criticism to stop you. You got to keep moving forward and don't let it discourage you. Be weary in doing good. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Amen? Let men see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. You're the light of the world. Let men see your good works. Now, you're the light of the world. What do you have when you have a light? Bugs. Just saying. You know, another thing that'll really discourage you is seeing the laziness or the lack of effort of others just for fun. The population of our country is 280 million. These figures are a little outdated, maybe. 124 million are of the age of 65, leaving 156 to do the work. There are 104 million people under the age of 25, leaving 52 million to do the work. 30 million people who work for the federal government, which leaves 22 million to do the work. These aren't really real, y'all. In case some of you are going to go to, I can see some of these things being posted on Facebook tonight when you get home. No, these aren't real. Anyway, 4 million are in the armed forces, which leaves 18 million to do the work. Deduct 17,800,000 who work in state, county, and city offices, leaving 200,000 to do the work. There's 188,000 in hospitals and institutions of various kinds, leaving 12,000 to do the work. That may interest you to know there's 11,998 people in jail, so that leaves just two people to carry the load. That's you and me, brother, and I'm getting tired of doing everything myself. So. I don't think those are really real, but anyway, sometimes we feel that way, don't we? Do you know, in most churches, they usually call it the 80-20 principle. 20% of the people do 80% of the work. 80% of the people don't really work in the church. And I want you to know, in the body of Christ, that means we're hitting on 20% efficiency. Anybody that thinks that they're so unimportant that they don't need to do anything, they're deceived. And you see, when other people are not doing what they're supposed to do, it's discouraging. It causes us to get weary. We need everybody. Amen? Now, how do we overcome weariness? Well, first, it needs to start with a real commitment to the Lord. It starts with a real commitment to serve the Lord. And I don't just mean work at the church either. I'm talking about in your witness in the workplace. I'm even talking about your first ministry in your family, and how you love and treat and serve and help your family. Listen, that is also important, and we need to remember this. It's our commitment to the Lord and to His work that'll keep us going. See, Jesus made this very clear. He said that before you start something, if you're going to build a tower, you first got to sit down and you got to count the cost. And you see, here's the issue. As long as quitting is an option, you're going to find yourself heading that direction eventually. You got to make up your mind that you are never going to quit. That getting weary and run down and quitting is just not even an option for you. You have to have that level of commitment that you are in it for good no matter what. You're going to keep on doing good. Too much of the time, people give up before their harvest comes in. You got to be committed. Second, you got to trust God. You got to have faith. You got to take God at His word. It is a matter of simple faith in trusting and believing the word of God. He says, here, we don't have to go very far. Right there with the verse we've been reading, Galatians 6:9. He says, if we won't get weary, we're going to reap a harvest. Just that one verse ought to keep you going. When you start to get weary, when you're tempted, when you have the opportunity to get weary, you just that one verse, I've got a harvest coming, and I'm not going to quit now. I'm going to keep going. Just trust the Lord. I tell you, if we'll do that, if we'll keep our faith up, we can overcome weariness and discouragement, just knowing that our harvest is coming. You know, let me just give you a couple of promises. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. I want to tell you, if you're a parent, you're going to have the opportunity to get weary. Guarantee. You're going to have the opportunity. But if by faith, you'll put your trust, just put your trust in God and stand on His word, you can keep going. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. You may see days and times when it looks like it ain't working. That's when you stand in faith. That's when you don't get weary, but you keep loving them. You keep on correcting. You keep on teaching. You keep on reaching. You keep on doing the things that you know to do. You keep on praying. You know, prayer is one of those things. Prayer is, I'm going to talk about this in a few minutes. Prayer is how you, part of how we keep from getting weary. But prayer is one of the things that people get weary about. And Jesus, in Luke 18 and 1, it says that Jesus taught a parable that men ought to always pray and never give up. And you see, so many people, they pray for a little while, and then they give up because they didn't see something happen. You got a harvest coming. Don't give up. You keep praying. God will honor His word. Here's another one. Malachi 3:10, you know, preachers love to preach this, don't they? Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Listen, and he says, test me in this and see if I'll not throw open the windows of heaven and the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you'll not have enough room for it. Now, when he says, test me in this, the Lord wasn't saying, hey, try this for a week. That is not what that means. In fact, I'm 53 years old now, and the older I get, and I look back over the years, I see over and over and over that the people that are faithful to God in their giving, in their tithing and giving, there's a difference in their life. It's not just about having millions of dollars in the bank. Listen, there are a lot of people that don't even know Jesus that are living for the devil. They got millions of dollars in the bank. I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about that you can see the difference in their life over the years. It's not something that you tried for a week. That is not, people preach that. That is not what God is saying there when he says, test me in this. He doesn't mean, hey, try tithing 1 week and see what happens. It's a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle of faith and obedience, and God honors that. Here's why. You see, with the Lord, it's never just about an action, is it? It is always about the heart. And when somebody just says, okay, well, here, I'll try it. Here's my offering. Well, you just threw some money in a bucket. Your heart's not right. No, it's all about the heart. That when you here's the heart of tithing. I trust God totally and completely with my money. I put Him first in my life. And you see, when you get to that place, you're not going to try it for a week. That's not what test me in this means. I tell you, it's amazing how people will change the word of God. But listen, nowhere does he say, try this for a week. He says, test me in this. And it's not something you just tried one time. Listen, here's what happens. You see, when you go through the motions, but your heart's not in it, you're going to get tired. You're just wearing yourself out, going through the motions. But when your heart is really in it and you're really trusting God, then you know you'll keep going because you got a harvest that's coming. Now, we got to have that commitment. We got to have faith, have trust in God. And then number three is that we need to encourage one another. And this kind of goes along with what I was talking about defending one another earlier, but this is the good medicine, all right? Listen, the cure for people getting worn out and burn out and getting out of church is if we would just do what the Bible says and encourage one another daily. You know what? Most of us get encouraged about once a month from other people. I'm talking about, you know, somebody just coming up and saying really good things to you. Well, if you cross the Nichols or the Strickland's path, I tell you that I honestly believe that's one of the things that makes them such great ministers is if you're around them, they're always going to have something positive to say to you to encourage you. But listen to this from Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. It says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, and let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You see, we all, he's talking about spurring one another on to love and good deeds. What are we talking about here? Not being weary and well-doing. See, we need to encourage each other. Encourage each other. Keep going. You're doing good. You know, when I preach the worst, God always has somebody come tell me that was just for me. But I'm telling you, we all need that. By the way, children and teenagers almost never go up to their teacher or youth pastor and say, wow, that was just what I needed. What I'm saying to you is that you moms and dads and grandparents, y'all need to be encouraging our children's workers and youth workers all the time, because they don't get it much from the kids themselves. Kids just don't do that much. They don't do it to you at home, do they? Now, you need to encourage our children and youth workers. I'm going to keep going. Now, I want to say one more thing about that criticism thing and being encouraged and discouraged. And you see, when you get discouraged, you get weary. So you need to understand this, that there are people who will bring you down. And I know that, if one of them is your spouse, you can't always get away from them. But I just want you to understand this principle, though, that if you're trying to stay strong and doing what you're supposed to be doing for God, discouraging people who are downers, always criticize, always negative, you need to be aware of this, that those kind of people can bring you down. And as I said, you can't always get away from them. You may have to work with them. But when you can, you need to realize, hey, I don't have to be around those people all the time. And here's a point I'm wanting to make to you, is that you got to know that negative people can bring you down. You need to be around some people that will encourage you. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. See, some people think they're so strong they can just handle anything, being around negative people all the time. But I'm telling you, sooner or later, it'll wear you down. If you listen to the news, it will tear you down. I'm going to say something really ugly now. I'm just in one of those moods tonight. Even Christian TV, a lot of Christian TV anymore, all they do is talk about how bad it is. That isn't encouraging anybody. If they're just talking about how bad this is, how bad that is, everything's bad, the whole world's going to hell, it's all falling apart, what are we going to do? Listen, if they're not preaching the Bible, if they're not talking about the good news, turn it off, change the channel. I don't care if it's brother so-and-so. If they're just being negative and nah, it's tearing your spirit down. Making you weary. Get that stuff out of your life. You don't have to listen to that stuff. Prophets of doom and gloom. No, we're supposed to be, listen, anytime you listen to the word, it ought to build you up and encourage your faith and help you, give you strength, not make you weary, not make you go, yeah, it's bad, what are we going to do? That's just like the world. That's my ugliness now. And I'm not saying all Christian TV's that way. I'm just saying some of it is. And you need to be wise when something's being negative and discouraging. Turn that thing off. Don't listen to that stuff. Don't let that get in your spirit. That kind of negative stuff will discourage you. But as we encourage one another, you see, we can stay strong. Here's a way you can encourage yourself in the Lord. It's with the Word of God. It's with the good news. And I just encourage you to fill up on the good news. Matthew 12:35, the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. We're talking about doing good works. How do you do good works? You bring forth good things out of the good that's stored up in you. So you just fill yourself up with the Word of God. I'm telling you, the Word of God will build your faith. It will encourage you. Fourth, this is what the Bible says. Consider Jesus. Focus on Jesus' example. He endured great difficulty and hardship. The Bible says, for the joy that was set before him. It's Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 3. It says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. See, whenever you start to get weary, consider Jesus. Consider what he went through. And yet now he is seated at the right hand of God, a name that's above every name. You can't get any higher. See, consider what he went through, and you're going to be all right. It'll keep you from getting weary if you consider Jesus our example. In our Christian walk, we all going to go through hardships. But you know what? No matter how tough it gets for us, it doesn't compare to what Jesus went through, does it? Consider him. Look to Jesus. And realize that your rewards also are going to be great. Fifth, to overcome discouragement and weariness, pray. Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I'm talking about how to not get weary in your soul. Pray, pray. If you're weary in your soul, pray more, pray more. I'm telling you, there's the key. See, we can be like Martha. We got all our responsibilities. Well, somebody's got to worry about it. Somebody's got to take care of it. Listen, you need to be like Mary and sit at the feet of Jesus. It's amazing how God can work things out, and things that could have cost you 3 days, God can cause it to work out in an hour. I'm telling you, the Lord can do far more than all of our efforts and all of our struggling and striving in the flesh. We get so worn out trying to do it our way. What we need to do, Jesus said Mary chose that one thing that was needful. She sat at his feet and she heard his word. And I want to tell you, you need that time alone with God. That's how you refresh your soul. That's how you keep from getting weary. You know, David, can you imagine being a great warrior, a great king like David, who had so much trouble? He had all kinds of enemies coming against him all the time. In fact, that's why he didn't build the temple, is because he had blood on his hands. He was constantly in conflict. I mean, you look at the, you know, we think of King David, we think, oh, wow, you know, what a great leader and all the awesome things he did. But if you read the Bible, all the terrible things that he went through and all the battles that he fought and stuff that happened even in his own family. But David knew how to rest his soul. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside the still. He leads me. Losing it here. Help me. What's the next one? We're going to get to that one. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He guides my paths. Yeah, he restores. I know I could do it. It's just like, where'd it go? Where'd it go? Anyway. But yeah, so he leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. See, David knew how to find that place of rest in the Lord where he was restored, where he was refreshed. And I'm telling you, we got to have that or else we'll get weary. You can't do it without that time with God. That's where you get refreshed. That's where you get restored. But I want to encourage you, keep on doing. Keep on doing good. That's what you were created for. I'm going to wrap up with these. Ephesians 2:10, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. I already gave you this one. I want to read it again. Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And here's the last one. It's Psalms 37. I'm going to read 1-7, and then we're going to close. We're going to be done, all right? Do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong, for like the grass they will soon wither. Like green plants they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. I tell you, church, if we'll just wait on God, just trust him, just keep doing what we're supposed to do, God will cause it to work out right. He's going to bless you. Amen. You know, don't get your eyes on those doing wrong. Don't fret yourself over that. No, you keep your eyes on the Lord. You keep doing what you're supposed to do. God's going to take care of it. He's going to give you a great harvest.